Radha Kund getting over to Adhikajaya, Vrindavan Kajaya, Churanaka Kajaya, Tamilakasami Kajaya, Yamunamaya Kajaya, Shimani Lasadeva Kajaya, Sambhavaya Bhakta, Vrindakajaya, Go. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, actually, we still have it on verse 10 over there. So we were on verse 10 before. So anyway, we're continuing with verse 10. So I'm just going to read the Sanskrit again. And then we'll continue reading the purports of verse 10 in Srimad Bhagavatam. So 10:30, 10. Pretty good. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I'm just going to read the text and the synonyms, and then we'll continue with the purport. Him te kritam shittitapo avatta keshavangri sparshotsavak pulaka kittatanganahar vipasi apyangri sambhavahurukram vikramad vikramadva aho varaha bahusha parirambanena. So the translation of this verse is, O Mother Earth, what austerity did you perform to attain the touch of Lord Keshava's lotus feet, which has brought you such joy that your bodily hairs are standing on end? You appear very beautiful in this condition. Was it during the Lord's current appearance that you acquired this ecstatic symptom, or was it perhaps much earlier when he stepped upon you in his form as the dwarf Vamanadeva, or even earlier when he embraced you in his form of the boar Varahadeva? So we're going to read Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on this particular verse. And it's important to understand before we start reading it. So, about Krishna's transcendental body, as it's stated, that Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha Anadi Radhiri Govinda Sarva Karana. So he has a body of Satchitananda, and it is also described Angani Yasha Sakala Vigriya Dri Timan Ti, that Krishna can do anything with any part of his body that he wants. He can eat with his eyes, he can see with his ears, he can touch with his nose. Of course, we can all touch with our nose. So, because his body is transcendental, it's made of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. So, when Lord Boar touched the earth planet, he impregnated the earth planet. We talked about that story the other day. Because he can impregnate the earth planet just with a touch of his tusks. In the same way, Krishna impregnated this whole universe by sa'aikshata, by looking at the universe. And that's how we got here. Sa'aikshata. And that verse, that look, that vision, is called Shambhu. Shambhu Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is our father in the material world. Just as much as you have a father in this world and a mother who gave birth to you, Lord Shiva is your father. And Durga is your mother. Someone asked me a very interesting question this morning when I was corresponding with them. They said, why is Durga sometimes called a witch? Bhaktivinoda Thakur is poem, you know. Jeev Jagar, how long have you been sleeping with the laugh of the witch called Maya? Right? Kota Nidra, yo Maya! Pisa Chira Kole! So Pisacha means like witch or goblin. So it's an interesting question, actually, they asked on the internet. Because 90% of my preaching now is on the internet. I'm not allowed to be with people. Anyway, more than 20 people at a time. So it's an interesting question because Durga is our mother. Parvati is our mother. She's called Vaishnavi too. So why witch? Well, we have to understand the use of the word witch. You know, generally when we think of witch, we think of someone who rides on a broom. Sometimes the brahmacharis call the ladies witches, you know. Or Maya Davis. They're not. But let's unpack the word witch. So, just like bewitched. Bewitched means that someone is bewildered. So she's not a witch in the negative sense, but she bewitches us in this material world. And don't blame her, because you are embracing her. Just like that story of the sage who was asked a question by the king. Why is she so strong, Maya so strong? And the sage, instead of verbalizing or speaking the answer, he ran up to a pillar and he said to the pillar, embracing it, "Let me go, let me go." So we are responsible. We cannot blame Maya for our illusion. You understand? You say, Maya made me do it, Prabhu. The Christians also have a way of saying, the devil made me do it. You ever heard them say that? The devil made me do it. No one has heard, Maya made me do it. I fell in Maya. No, you jumped in Maya, you rascal. Like he's taking swimming lessons. He didn't fall into the swimming pool, he jumped into the swimming pool. Right? So, you know, we're responsible and we can get out of Maya, even though Mama Maya Dharateya, Mama Ivaye Purpajante, Maya Mukham Dharantite, by taking shelter of Krishna. All right. So it was just such an interesting point that was brought out in my exchange this morning. You know, why does Bhaktivinoda Thakur say the laugh of the witch? Isn't it? So, she's not a witch in the same way that we think of her, but we're being bewitched. Yes?
Maharaj, I had one Brahmacharya give an example of Maya. He said that she's like a South Indian housewife. And he said she just keeps serving you all the things that you want until you say no and you really need. Otherwise, she'll just keep serving you and serving.
That's a good example.
Yeah? It just depends on us to say no.
No, but the South Indian housewife is a very nice person. We don't want to blaspheme South Indian housewives. It's just, what she is, she has a thankless task. It's like, Prabhupada also said, Durga means, this is a discussion I had with someone yesterday. They said, why is everyone worshiping Durga? Durga means to go with difficulty. Or as Prabhupada translated, the prison warden. Well, when you're in prison, you worship the warden because he'll give you special privileges. Right? If you become a chamcha for the warden, then he'll let you have special privileges in the prison, right? Give you prasadam, you know, invite you to watch videos with him or something like that. So we have become the chumcha of the board. Interesting relationship. So, she's the warden of the prison house. And she will let us out when we appeal to Krishna. That's the point. And then we can accept everything from her in the spirit of Yukta Vairagya. So let the South Indian housewife give DMS more. See, I'm turning that around. Let her give us more, and we'll just use it for Krishna. Yeah, we'll distribute it. And actually, Durga Maya, anyway, she loves Prashant. And there's that whole story in the Chaitanya Mangal that many of you know, that when Lord Shiva got prasadam and she asked for it, Lord Shiva thought that she wasn't capable of taking prasadam. You know this story? Lord Shiva had got a little prasadam and she said, "Did you save any for me?" And he stopped. She actually stopped his dancing. He was so ecstatic taking prasadam. And then he said, "No, you're Maya. You're Maya. You're just material." And she got really angry at her husband, South Indian husband. So she got really angry at her husband. And she said, "I'm going to make sure that Vishnu gives me prasadam." And she worshipped Vishnu. Lord Vishnu came down. And Lord Vishnu agreed to give her prasadam and give us all of us prasadam. Right? So we respect her. She's our mother. Lord Shiva's our father. So we shouldn't think witch or bad. She's wonderful. She's Vaishnavi. But she's just doing what Krishna wants her. Like Yamaraj, he's wonderful. He's the Mahajan. But he's doing what Krishna wants to rectify us. Okay, so let's continue reading. I just wanted to give that brief explanation. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that because they're absorbed in meditation on Vishnu, they are probably not replying to us, but as residents of a holy place, they are hard-hearted since they don't say a word to us. So we're talking about like the trees and the creepers like this. After this, one gopi spoke, "Since we cannot tell who knows about Krishna and who does not, why do you criticize these residents of the holy place? We should ask that person who knows the truth." Oh, actually, I read this portion already, so. Actually, I read this. I didn't read Jiva Goswami's commentaries. So let's start with Jiva Goswami's commentaries. Asking about the footprints of Krishna, the gopis glance at the earth and then assume that the earth must have seen him since the earth is spread everywhere. They considered her sprouts of grass to be her hair standing on end out of joy at being touched by his lotus feet. They then describe her good fortune while indicating his excellence. "You must have done pious acts, tapa, to touch his feet. Has the touch of his feet created your joy?" Api indicates a question. Shruti says, "Trida Vishnu Chakrame." Vishnu took three steps. Has your joy arisen from Trivikram stepping with his feet to cover the three worlds, showing his power? That cannot be. Trivikram, of course, is Lord Vamanadeva. Actually, Lord Vamanadeva is also called Upendra. Does anyone know why he's called Upendra? Upa Indra, like the younger brother of Indra. Younger Indra. That cannot be, since why would you show such joy, referring to the earth, after such a long time? Maybe it was not just touching with the foot, but Varaha lifting you up and enjoying you. Or what was your previous act by which you attained joy in being touched by Krishna's feet? Was it being touched by Trivikrama's feet? That's Vamanadeva again. Was it being embraced by Varaha? Please tell us. This indicates Krishna's greatest glory. How can we endure separation then? You are the most fortunate and we are most unfortunate. Be merciful and show us his path. Okay, now we're going to go on to text 11. The next text. Apyena patyupakata priya yeha gatrais anvam risam sakisunu ritamatyutava akantanga sanga kuchakum kumaranjitaya kunda shraya kulapateri bhavati gandaha. O friend, Wife of the deer, has Lord Achyuta been here with his beloved, bringing great joy to your eyes? Indeed, blowing this way is the fragrance of his garland of kunda flowers, which is smeared with the kumkum from the breast of his girlfriend when he embraced her. So at this point, they are recognizing that Krishna is left with his very special girlfriend. Now, interestingly enough, Radharani's name is not mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. She's indirectly she who worships, you know, but not directly. And the reason for this, I'll tell a little story about this, is that Shukadeva Goswami is described by many acharyas as being the parrot of Radharani. He's called Shuka because he's repeating these nectarian pastimes, and it's described that when a parrot touches some fruit and he makes it riper, he pierces just a little bit, and then the fruit can actually become more ripe because of that. Some fruit requires that. It's interesting, apart from parrots, now I know this may disgust all of you, but if anyone knows what a fig is, the figs are made tasty because worms go into them and they get eaten by the fig for nutrition. So the animal, yeah, look it up. So the animals actually make the fruits more tasty. It's, we'll talk about it later. It's actually true. I didn't believe it. I got shocked when someone first told me. So the parrot makes the fruit much more ripe and much more tasty. That's one reason why he's called Shukadeva Goswami. But actually, in his past birth, he was the parrot of Srimati Radharani. Now, the parrot of Srimati Radharani is very interesting. In Rupa Goswami's Lalita Madhava, you have a very interesting story about parrots. Like one time, this, anyway, I'll get a little resentful here. So Krishna goes to Dwarka. This is the Lalita Madhava. And Radharani appears, I'm not going to tell the whole story, this is a long story, as Satyabhama. And Chandravali, Radharani's so-called competitor, appears as Rukmini. All right, so Krishna marries Rukmini. And when he marries her, he promises, I will never marry anyone else without your permission. So, fast forward a little bit. Radharani, as I said, appears as Satyabhama. Now, the reason she appears as Satyabhama, according to Srila Rupa Goswami, is that when Krishna leaves Vrindavan, she feels so bereft, feeling the separation. She enters into the Yamuna River, and entering into the Yamuna River, of course, is the daughter of the sun god. And so she's taken up to the sun. And when she's taken up to the sun, she has with her Shankachuta's jewel. And then the sun god becomes pleased with his devotee Satyajit in Dwarka and gives Satyajit this jewel, which Krishna wanted at a particular point, and also gives Satyabhama to Satyajit as his daughter. Then everybody's following the story. I'm trying to get back it really simple. It's a little more complex than that. So after Krishna rescues the jewel from Jambavan and brings the jewel back, you know, there's a whole thing that happens. Then Satyajit feels so bad, he gives Krishna the jewel, and he gives Krishna his daughter, Satyabhama. Got it? And Krishna gives him back the jewel. Later on, he gets killed because of that. But that's Krishna's story. So anyway, so there's Satyabhama, but Krishna has made a promise to Rukmini, he won't marry again without her permission. And she's not ready to give permission. So, therefore, they take Satyabhama and they put her in this replica of Vrindavan called Nava Vrindavan, or in English, New Vrindavan. Not the New Vrindavan in Iskcon. Not, it's too cold. So, now we're Vrindavan, which is near Dwarka, on the other side of the bay. So she's there, she's in hiding, and what happens is she can't associate with Krishna. Nor does she even know that Krishna and Dwarkadish are the same person. She thinks, you know, I just want Krishna. Who is this guy, Dwarkadish? You know, she doesn't really relate in that way. So while in this Nava Vrindavan forest, she sees a beautiful deity of Krishna made out of black sapphire. And she sees the deity and she feels so much separation from Krishna, she begins to decorate the deity. You know, put nice earrings on the deity, fixes the dhoti, puts a mala on the deity. You know, it's really nice, combs his hair. And so she's doing that, very happy. And then she hears some people coming. And she hides in the bushes. Because she's afraid. You know, it might be someone who'll get her in trouble for taking care of the deity. So it's Krishna. So Krishna comes. Krishna sees the deity for himself and he says, wow. Someone has decorated the deity really nicely. Really done a good job. And then Krishna thinks, I want to find out who has done such a nice job with the deity. So he takes the deity, puts the deity in the bushes, and he takes the deity's jewelry and clothes and puts it on himself. And he stands still, like a statue. And so then Satchabhama, who is Radharani, comes out and she sees who she thinks is the deity. And she continues to decorate the deity. And she thinks, this is an amazing deity. Vishwa Karma has done such a great job. And Krishna thinks that that Satchabhama is a Radha deity. You know, one of these like new animatronics. You know, they have these like robots and things like that now. So Krishna is thinking, Vishwakarma has done such a great job constructing this deity, a Radharani deity. And she talks. And Radharani is thinking, Krishna talks too. The Krishna deity talks too. So eventually they discover it's each other. Okay. So then they begin to have pastimes sneaking around in this Nava Vrindavan forest. And Rukmini is getting a little suspicious, you know, obviously. And so she does certain things. I mean, actually one pastime they have is before I introduce Rukmini into the equation, is they have a pastime in a cave. They go into a cave together, and in that cave are pictures of all their pastimes in Vrindavan. And they're looking. It's like a couple will look at a photographic album sometimes, like, this is, you know, marriage ceremony, this is when we were happy, what happened to us, you know. So they're looking at all these pictures, you know, Krishna dancing on Kaliya, and they're really happy looking at the pictures. Finally, they come to one picture that they get very upset with, and that's the picture of Krishna leaving Vrindavan. And the gopis standing in the path trying to block Krishna from leaving Vrindavan. So very upset, very, very upset with this whole thing. So anyway, so that goes on. Then at one particular point, Rukmini begins to suspect something. So she gives Satchabhama her clothes, and she takes Satchabhama's clothes. And then Krishna one time addresses Rukmini, Satcha. And Vrinda Devi, there's a person named Nava Vrinda, who is an expansion of Vrinda Devi in Vrindavan, says, it's Rukmini. And Krishna says, oh, Rukmini. You know, so Krishna's continually getting in trouble. So what happens is that Krishna has this whole plan to, we get into the parrot thing here. So Krishna has this whole plan to say that he's going somewhere, but actually he's going to stay with Satchabhama. So a parrot this parrot overhears, and the parrot goes to Rukmini and says, and repeats the words. And then Rukmini says, I'm going to send Satyabhama away so she'll never come back. So the parrot flies back and repeats Rukmini's words. And then Satyabhama, Radharani, jumps into the Kaliya Lake, which is an imitation of the Kaliya Lake, in Navar Vrindavan to kill herself. Because she thinks, if I'm finally out with Krishna, if I'm separated again, my life is useless. I'd rather die completely this time. And then Krishna, understanding that, jumps into the Kaliya Lake to save her. But this is just an imitation of Kaliya Lake, so there's no snakes. And he embraces her from the back, you know, save her from drowning. And she thinks, well, the snakes are holding me, but they don't bite. It's like in Krishna's arms. And then finally, to make a long story short, Rukmini agrees to let Krishna marry Satyabhama. And then finally he agrees to also let her marry Krishna marry Jambavati, who has previously been, you know, given to Krishna by Jambavati. So that's the story of the parrot. I know it's a long story. So getting back to Shukadeva Goswami, who is the parrot of Radharani, my godbrother, Gaurgovinda Maharaj, tells a very interesting story. That it's a really esoteric story, and some of you may have heard it before. That once upon a time, Lord Shiva was giving Bhagavatam class to his wife Parvati. And because Bhagavatam is eternal, it didn't start with Vyasadeva, it didn't start with Shukadeva, it didn't even start with Lord Brahma. It actually is eternal. In many universes, Bhagavatam has hundreds or thousands of cantos. Because the Bhagavatam means the beautiful story of Bhagavan, his pastimes, his devotees, his philosophy. It is the most wonderful literature. Srila Jiva Goswami, in his Tattva Sandarbha, which actually talks about what we call epistemology, how do you know what you know? In other words, what do people believe in? Like that. He ultimately comes to the conclusion Bhagavatam is the highest source of knowledge. We accept it more than Pratyaksha or Anuman or any other type of knowledge. In other words, it's more important than what your mother told you. More important than anything is what the Bhagavatam says. So, anyway, so here's, getting back to the point, so Lord Shiva is giving Bhagavatam class to Parvati. And Parvati is doing what most devotees do during Bhagavatam class. Sleeping. You understand? She's sleeping. But, on the other hand, there's this parrot here, Radharani's parrot, who's listening to Bhagavatam class. And so, Shuka, Radharani's parrot, is actually imitating Parvati so that Lord Shiva will continue the class. You understand? So Lord Shiva says, you understand? And the parrot says, yes, dear. I'm not very good at imitating Parvati, but that's more or less. And so Lord Shiva goes on. Finally, he looks up and sees his wife taking a nap. And he says, looks up and he sees this parrot. He gets really angry and starts chasing the parrot. This is taught by Gaurgovinda Maharaj, my dear, pure devotee god brother, who passed away a number of years ago. I was with him when he passed away. It was an amazing experience. I was in his room and he was talking about Lord Jagannath's pastimes, particularly the pastime of separation from Krishna, that Lord Chaitanya was feeling separation from Krishna in Jagannath Puri. And as he was talking about this, he opened his mouth and went into a trance and his soul came out of the mouth. An amazing experience. I mean, one of the most amazing experiences I had of someone leaving the body. opened his mouth. So anyway, so he told me the story. Or told us all the dwellers the story. And so the parrot, Vishuka, gets very full with anxiety and flies away. At the same time, same moment, don't blame me for the story. At the same moment, there's another Bhagavatam class going on, and Srila Vyasadeva is giving Bhagavatam class to his wife, speaking to his wife. And she's listening. Not only listening, she has her mouth open. Ah. And the parrot flies into her mouth. That's the story he told. I know it's very esoteric, not the way that most people take birth in this world. But it's the parrot also, getting back to let me explain it. The parrot has a spiritual body. So the parrot in a spiritual body, not the parrot body. Because you swallow a parrot, you die. You choke. But the parrot spiritual body entered, and that was Sukadeva Goswami. And so the reason he could not mention Radharani's name is that he would have not been able to finish the Bhagavatam had he mentioned Radharani's name. Because he was the parrot of Radharani. He would have just gone into trance, and poor Maharaj Pariksha would have died without hearing the Bhagavatam. Would have been a problem. So devotees sometimes, they experience so much ecstasy that it interferes with their service, and they suppress their ecstasy. Like that story of Daruka, who was fanning Krishna, and he fell into so much ecstasy that he started to tremble, and he cursed his ecstasy. He said, "Let this ecstasy go away." So devotees, of course, we want to be happy, obviously. But the main thing is to please Krishna. You know, anyavi lashita shunyam jnana karma navratam anukulyena krishnam shilanam bhakti rutamam. Pure devotional service means simply to please Krishna, the desire to please Krishna, to be active at it, and to be devoid of any other motivation. And so if a devotee's ecstasy gets in the way of service, we're not interested in ecstasy. If a devotee is going back to a pure devotee, if a pure devotee is going back to Godhead, interferes with his service, he doesn't want to go back to Godhead. This is a pure devotee. Of course, Prabhupada said we should want to go back to Godhead. One time a devotee said to Prabhupada, "I just want to serve your life at life." Prabhupada said, "No, you should want to go back to Godhead." Because the devotee wasn't pure at that point. But with the pure devotee, Kita Janmohoy Yata Tu Yudas, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays, "I'll take birth even as a worm, an insect, in the house of your devotee." Rama Janma Nahiyas. I will not take birth even as Lord Brahma, Bahirmukha, who is turning his face away from near Krishna. So this is the pure devotee's consciousness. So therefore, Shukadeva Goswami, to avoid being in ecstasy, didn't mention Radharani's name. Interesting, isn't it? And sometimes people criticize, "Oh, we never heard of Radharani." I mean, for example, now we're getting into a whole other class, which I haven't planned on. For example, in Jaipur, around the time of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Baladeva Vijayabhushana, there were these people called the Ramanandis. They were actually from South India, influenced from the Sri Vaishnava sect. And they were very upset that Radharani was with Krishna on the altar, particularly Radha Govinda deities. They looked at the deities and said, "Where? Does it mention Radharani?" Ah, can't have Radharani with Krishna. Krishna should be by himself. And so they persuaded the king that he should take Radharani off the altar and put her somewhere else. And the famous story. And then when Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the great Rasacharya, heard this, he got so upset. He was ready to go to Jayapur to take care of it. But Jayapur, walking from Vrindavan, probably would take, I don't know, 2 weeks or a week or two or something like that, isn't it? I mean, I took a taxi once on the beautiful roads in India from Vrindavan. It took five or 6 hours. That's a taxi driving very quickly at 20 kilometers an hour. So, it's the most miserable trip I've ever taken in my life. Now they have better highways. This is when I was young. So instead he sent his protege, Baladeva Vidyabhushan. And Baladeva Vidyabhushan, he argued with the Ramanandis and won the argument, but the Ramanandis said, no, we don't accept you as bona fide because your community, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, don't have a commentary on the Vedanta. And then he said, well, the Bhagavatam is the commentary on the Vedanta. And they said, we don't accept that. So then he said, all right, if you don't accept that, I'll show you the commentary. Just give me, you know, a day or two. Then he went before Govinda and prayed to Govinda. He said to Govinda, please give me the intelligence. Govinda dictated to him this whole commentary. It's called the Govinda Bhasha. And he presented it. The Ramanandis surrendered to him. They brought Radharani back. So one may question why that happens, why Krishna allowed Radharani to be taken away from him. And the Acharyas explain it's because Krishna and Radharani had a fight. And Radharani got angry with Krishna. So you see, there's no utopia even in the spiritual world where everybody's just smiling, fighting there. But it's all based on giving Krishna pleasure. Krishna loves it when people fight with him, not when the devotees fight with him. It's a little different. But he likes tasty relationships. He likes garam masala. Anyway, let's read it. So we talked a little bit about parrots and everything. So let's read this purport. So purport, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur provides the following charming commentary on this verse. The gopis spoke to a doe. Doe is a deer, a female deer. A doe, a deer, a female deer. So the gopis spoke, oh friend, wife of the deer, from the bliss in your clear eyes, we can clearly tell that Sri Krishna has expanded your joy with the beauty of his limbs, his face, and so forth. You are eager to realize the ecstasy of seeing Krishna, and thus your eyes are following him. In fact, he is never lost to you. Then the gopis, seeing the doe, continue to walk in her natural. This English here needs to be corrected in this translation. Seeing the doe continue to walk in her natural way, exclaimed, oh, are you telling us that you have seen Krishna? Look, as this deer walks, she constantly turns her head back to us, as if to say, I will show him to you. Just follow me and I will show you Krishna. In this merciless Vrindavan, she is the only merciful person. That reminds me of another story when Srinivasacharya, there's an interesting story how he also considered Vrindavan to be merciless. Srinivasacharya wanted to see Lord Chaitanya and Jagannath Puri. So he went to Jagannath Puri and he found Lord Chaitanya had left this world. And then he wanted to study the Bhagavatam from Swarup Damodar Goswami. But the Bhagavatam that Swarup Damodar Goswami had was completely illegible because it had been rendered illegible by the tears of Lord Chaitanya. And then he went to get another Bhagavatam, brought it back, and found Swarup Damodar Goswami had left this world. And then he went to Vrindavan, toward Vrindavan. And right before he arrived in Vrindavan, he discovered that Rupa and Sanatana had left this world. So he also said, this merciless Vrindavan. So this is a mood of a pure devotee which should not be emulated or imitated. So here the gopis were thinking the deer are the only merciful persons. As the gopi followed the doe, they happen to lose sight of her, and then they cry out, "Oh, why can't we see the deer who is showing us the way to Krishna?" One gopi suggests that Krishna must be somewhere in the vicinity, that means nearby, and that the deer, being afraid of him, must have hidden herself to avoid the possible mistake of revealing his presence. Conjecturing, that means thinking. In this way, the gopis detect a fragrance that has been by chance blown this way, and they repeatedly declare with great joy, "Yes, yes, this is it. By Krishna's physical contact with his girlfriend, his jasmine garland was smeared with a kumkum on her breast, and the fragrance of all these things are reaching us." Thus, the gopis smelled the aroma of the two lovers' bodies, of Krishna's jasmine garland, and of the cosmetic powder on the breast of his lover. Wow. So, that's Vishnu. Talk about his commentary, which has been written by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. So I'll read Jiva Goswami's commentary. The following should be considered. With whom did Krishna disappear? Later this is revealed, but now it is unclear. Shukadeva's intention is as follows. Among all the various avatars of the Lord, I have attraction for Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. Among all the associates of the Lord, I have attraction for the people of Braj. Among the people of Braj, I have greater attraction for the gopis. All know this secret. Among all the gopis, I have the most attraction for Radhika. Everyone does not know this. The greater attraction is because of the greatest excellence. I hesitate to reveal her directly, but I wish to reveal my heart for fear of being miserly and giving knowledge. This is Shukadeva Goswami's consciousness. Wow. I can even read this again. Better not. So anyway, he says, Shukadeva Goswami says, everyone does not know this, that his attraction for Radhika stands supreme. I hesitate to reveal her directly, but I wish to reveal my heart for fear of being miserly and giving knowledge. So Shukadeva Goswami is actually revealing his heart in this regard. Through the words of Jiva Goswami, by revealing her through the words of her friends, the secret will not be apparent. By disguised words, I will reveal the truth through the speech of her rivals. If I reveal her accidentally because of my absorption, I will not speak her name directly. Not just her name, but I will not utter the names of the other gopis. I will also reveal the rasas by indirect expression, not by direct statement. If someone misunderstands the real meaning, then it will be most astonishing. Therefore, first he reveals Radha through her friend speaking. When the Lord disappeared, taking her with them, her friends had some doubt. Though they went with the others, absorbed in searching for only Krishna, and though they were in a state of unmada, that means transcendental madness, they remained in their own group, searching for the couple, desiring his appearance at a distance. While walking around, they were able to have a vision momentarily, even without seeing his footprints. The friends speak this verse. The sequence of verses indicate acceptance that Radha was with him. Their friendship with the couple and their desire to see them is also indicated. Probably Krishna came near you with his beloved. Or P can indicate a question. O friend, did Krishna come near you with his beloved? Since he wanders in the forest, is it surprising that he has passed by us who live here? But he was with his beloved. That is astonishing. On seeing him, there will be spread amazing happiness in association with her. Your eyes and the eyes of others associated with you must have experienced great bliss, because your limbs are decorated with anubhavas indicating bliss. Remember what I mentioned about anubhavas the other day? They're the bhavas who follow the vibhava. Vibhava is that which stimulates you, and the anubhava means anubhava, the bhava that follows, like the hairs standing on end. Seeing him with her would produce much greater bliss. You should not hide this from us. Since we are his intimate servants, we can know everything about him by the fragrance carried by the breeze. The fragrance clearly comes from the garland smeared with kumkuma from her breast when there was intimate association between the head of the dynasty and his beloved, Kanta. We perceive this because of practice. So, anyway, it's a little bit late. Let's end here. It's getting too ecstatic. No, anyway. It's too much nectar. Anyway, so we have to understand, I mean, just to clear things up, they have transcendental bodies, and if you hear about these things, you project your own misunderstandings due to your attachment to this material world, it'll simply make you lusty. So one has to be very careful about hearing these things. It's not like young boys and young girls embracing each other with material bodies and getting lusty. Radharani is simply thinking of pleasing Krishna. Her all be all, end all, is to give Krishna pleasure. She says in the last chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita with Lord Chaitanya's words that if her misery gives Krishna pleasure, then her misery is her pleasure. That is Radharani's consciousness. And it's not the touching of material bodies and enjoying sense pleasures. We should be very clear about this. Okay, any questions or comments before we get arrested for having too many people on the table? Yes, Jambavada. Can you make it loud? Because it's kind of... Okay, yeah, so that was a good question. I thought I addressed that. Yes, prasadam is never contaminated. However, there's an interesting story. When Prabhupada came to Los Angeles one time, he was told that after the Sunday feast, the devotees were taking the remnants of all the guests. And Prabhupada said they should not do that, they'll get sick. So the question is, if prasadam is never contaminated, why would they get sick from taking the remnants of all the guests? Well, the reason is because the prasadam itself is not contaminated, but if you put something on it, that thing can be contaminated. So a virus is very small, smaller than me, smaller than my soul, not smaller than my soul. Actually, it's bigger than my soul. My soul is 1/10,000th of a hair, 5 or 6 billion. And so, on a flower or on a cartel, there's some viruses there. I can see them. Well, they're the coronavirus, not the coronavirus. So, on the cartel, I assure you that on this cartel there are viruses. Not the coronavirus. But I assure you, there's bacteria on it, viruses, and most of those will not give you any trouble. However, and the cartel is pure, it's being used for Krishna. But what's on it may be a problematic. So that's really the point. So all over the world, and this is actually coming from the international GBC, we've told the temples not to pass flowers around and the scent either. Not that the flowers are never contaminated, prasadam is never contaminated, If you're in Vrindavan with the Brajabasis, they used to celebrate Govardhan Puja by throwing prasadam at each other, and picking it up from the ground, and eating it. But that's in Vrindavan, 5,000 years ago, before the Kali Yuga advented, before Kali virus, the Karuna Kali, whatever virus. And so we should be careful. You know, there's a lot of recommendations now. We don't shake hands anymore. We go namaste. Even there was political leaders in the United States who are doing namaste to each other now. So this is bringing people with Krishna consciousness. Right, so I think we just have to be careful, because we have to protect the lives of these devotees. That's my concern. You know, personally, I am not concerned about getting the coronavirus. If Krishna wants me to get it and I die, I die. There's no problem for me. But I don't want any of you to die. You understand? Just like if I have to go back to the United States and I'm exposed in the airport to so many people, I'm going to put myself into isolation voluntarily for 2 weeks to protect the devotees. So I'm very concerned. Because you are all rare souls. I'm not. But you are all rare souls, and I don't want any of you to get sick. And that's why, okay? Because I love you all. Okay? And I want to, an ounce of prevention is worth what? Anyone know that statement? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. You never heard that? Never heard that before. An ounce of prevention. That's why I follow the diet I follow, because I'd rather not be in the hospital, especially here in Fiji. It's my worst nightmare. So, on that happy note, I think we should end class now. And we have a full day of service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there's no Sunday feast, and please, no congregations of more than 20 people at a time. I ask, where we're having our program tonight, only 20 people will come to the program. It's very important to these restrictions the government have put are very important. It's not just Maya. You know, these are very important because we're taking precautions. It's better to overdo the precautions than underdo the precautions. Isn't it? It's better to be more cautious. It's like one time, oh yeah, here's another one. Devotees asked Prabhupada, why should we wear a seatbelt? This is before you got a fine for not wearing a seatbelt. And they said, isn't Krishna protecting us? And then Prabhupada said, no, Krishna gives you intelligence. Put your seatbelt on, you rascal. So, you know, use intelligence. You know, so there is a dangerous virus going around, and we want devotees to remain alive. Okay.